is brought to you by EXO Autoworks. EXO Autoworks is Colorado Springs' home of the $30 synthetic blend oil change. Call now, 719-375-3232, or visit exoautoworks.com to make your appointment. Enharmonic Studios. Enharmonic Studios is a hybrid digital analog facility designed to be quality and affordable to anyone who wants to make history. Call today, 719-963-2020, or go to facebook.com/enharmonicstudios. Twisted Apes Bar and Grill. Twisted Apes offers a full menu, live music, and they're the home of Man Tools and Twisted Radio. Check them out at twistedapes.com. Madrid Maintenance. Madrid Maintenance offers excellent handyman services in the Colorado Springs area, starting at just $35 an hour. You can reach them by phone at 719-634-2020 or online at facebook.com/madridmaintenance. Trevor's Beard is brought to you by The Beard Struggle. The Beard Struggle is my go-to for beard hygiene and styling products. So you should click the link below and use the code TLANE15, that's TLANE15, for 15% off your order.
Live from Twisted Apes Bar and Grill. Eric Madrid. Trevor Lane.
Good evening, everybody.
Hello.
Colorado, you can fuck off right now.
We have snow, thunder snow.
Thunder snow. Never seen it anywhere else. We have snow and it's thundering.
Yep.
I got a video of it. It didn't come out very good, but
I didn't actually hear thunder. I just saw lightning in the snow.
Oh.
Like up in the clouds. Mm-hmm. It was pretty wild.
Yeah. Thunder snow. I sent you that, right?
Yeah.
Did you hear it?
No.
Yeah, it didn't.
I was driving, so I didn't actually play it. I just kind of saw the thumbnail, and I was like, yeah, that's
thunder snow.
What's going on.
That's what's happening. Fucking Colorado. Oh, craziness. What a week. So.
Yeah, I had a great week.
Go ahead.
I got my Johnson & Johnson vaccine and took a new job as a Minneapolis cop, so.
What? Wow. Left turn. I did not see it. Wow. Makes my week.
None of those things are true.
Like, well, you did what? You got a vaccine? What's wrong with you? I love I'm going to get a vaccine. And then they tell you, well, it's only good for like a year. And then everybody is up in arms. And I'm like, how long have we had flu shots?
Well, that's not the part that bugs me. The part that bugs me is the go get the vaccine, but you still have to behave like everyone is contagious you're vulnerable. And if you don't, you're still trying to kill grandmas.
Well, the dubious part is that's all true.
Okay, so my point that I've been kind of proselytizing, I guess, on like various
everywhere
web pages is, well, then it doesn't work, at least not as advertised. Because when they were ramping up towards getting everybody vaccinated, it was, oh, this is our path back to normal. And then they're like, no.
No. Well, how many years that have you been alive that Walgreens has sold a flu shot? They don't call it a vaccine, but they call it a flu shot.
Yeah, it is a vaccine.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Really? And it's only good for a year?
Well, and they usually pick the wrong strain, typically. So that's another one where it's
so
like,
it's a preventative measure for
that's supposed to be the idea
to dial down symptoms of what is a nasty flu.
Yes, that has a. I just read a stat and I'm not a statistician or a doctor or learned anything.
Man.
No, I'm not a smart man. I don't have what you would call a fully functioning brain.
I was not burdened with the overabundance of education either.
But if this is true, we're really jumping through hoops for nothing. It claimed that the global death rate is 0.15%.
Yes.
And it's like, what are we doing?
Right.
I'm not sure that that's any worse than like the flu.
Or car accidents.
or
suicide. Or,
well, I mean, one of the things they compare it to, I guess you're actually in more danger of being trampled to death by a cow.
Those are vicious critters.
They can be, sure. Yeah.
To the real, don't be afraid of sharks, folks. Be afraid
and it's
of cows.
Like, you know, and then the meme, of course, said something like, so stay inside.
Pfizer now says DDE66. The Doug says Pfizer now says you need a third one.
Yeah, I read that.
You need one every year if you want to avoid symptoms. It's, oh, geez.
I don't know, man.
That's how evolution works. That's why we have
I'm not anti-vax per se.
No.
I but mean, like we've talked about, I'm anti-government mandates on most things, including vaccines.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, the app passport thing kind of terrifies me.
Super terrifies me. You know, you're not going to be able to travel across state lines or go to certain places. Talk about, dude, I've read this book.
Yeah.
I read this book.
And just the, like, the privacy concerns alone. Like, I'm not confident that the only medical information that they, government slash commercial interests that are involved in this passport thing, I'm not confident that the only thing they'll have access to is whether or not you've had a vaccine. I have a feeling it'll be any medical record that gets produced with your name on it.
Or your shopping proclivities.
Which paired with, well, the medical thing though, paired with things like red flag laws for guns.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
They could already start saying if you don't get this vaccine, it's a sign of some kind of mental illness and we want to take your guns.
Right. I think we just said it first. Somebody's going to run with it. Great job. It's all right. Nobody watches this shit anyway, so we're good. Oh, geez. Well, I did dumb stuff.
You did dumb stuff? Like what?
Again, I am not a learned man. So months and months ago, I got that new guitar processor, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, geez, I thought I was getting a firmware upgrade. It was actually a downgrade.
Okay.
And then everything sort of felt and didn't quite work right, and I was getting...
Was it the next version of firmware? It's just shitty, or...
No.
Oh, it was the, you went down?
I went down.
Oh, okay.
Because right. Everybody's like, oh, it's this one. I'm like, shit, I better get it. And then I got...
I've run into at work most often, the IT guys, they push these updates to the computers and then stuff works less well.
Yeah. This kind of went the other way.
And they're always like, well, if it's new, it's better. And it's like, not always.
Not necessarily. In this case it is because it fixed a bunch of phasing problems when you're running in stereo. And I've been fighting with the mix of the When the Hero Dies record for about 2 months now. And trying to get it to work, it says it's this, and it says, and then, oh god damn, just did the upgrade today and plugged it in and listened. I was like, Jesus, there's all the sounds. I was so mad, dude.
What did you do, like reamp your tracks through it or something?
I'm gonna have to at some point, because I just did a little quick record test.
Yeah.
And it's there. There it is.
I was going to say, well, you can't do much about the stuff that's already laid down, right? Unless you can reamp it.
Yeah. I'm really going to know these songs by the end of this album. Which, who knows? You know, you've been messing with it this long, though. I think this is why a lot of bands take like 2 years to make a record. Because they go back and revisit it, and then the riff gets better.
Probably.
You know what I mean?
I'm sure there's an element to that.
In a couple of them, that's the element. It got better. It got tightened up. It got reorganized. So we'll see how it goes. We'll look for that at the beginning of next month.
Cool. Looking forward to it.
It's going to be fun. That was a real bonehead move. Real bonehead. Because I was talking to my buddy, and he goes, no, Aries is the latest. I was like, no. He's like, no, Aries is 2.0 is the latest. I was like, shit.
They name them stuff like Mac.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's Mountain Lion Operating. Is that 10.1 or 10.4?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, it's like a whole different naming system. I'm like, no, Quantum's the latest. He's like, no, bro, look. And he sends me a screenshot of the website. I was like, fuck.
Well.
No wonder none of this stuff works. Quite right. It all sounds blah.
Because it's from 3 years ago or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not working properly. It's so funny.
Well,
kids, stay up to date on your firmware and your software and your double check your math. Oh, I feel like such a shithead.
Speaking of that book you were talking about earlier, I assume you meant 1984.
I did.
It could be Brave New World or Fahrenheit 451, any of those dystopian future novels.
Sure.
It could be. But I think we're going to do for our other Patreon this month, Mantles at the Movies, and we'll watch the 1984 movie. 1984.
John Hurt. Yeah. We should get some people in here because I know Zach's never seen it.
And do a. Oh, that's happening now.
Yeah.
That's exactly how this is.
That's exactly what's going on right now. Ah, oh, geez.
That was supposed to be a warning, not a guidebook, fellas.
Right. It is not a manual. Well, anyway, enough chit chat. Let's get back to the rock and roll.
Should we slide into some news?
I think so.
All up in some news.
Yep, spit on it. Let's get it there.
All right.
So I say, what's up, Keys? What's up, Doug?
Yeah, absolutely. Shout outs to our chat. And something that surprises, I would assume, no one. A new study links more masculine men to better parenting.
Wow.
There is a bit of a catch. And basically the catch is you can go too overboard and be a douche.
That's with anything masculine.
You do have to have some nurturing elements.
Do we have the clip of John Wayne
father
teaching a kid how to swim?
that would have been a good one.
That would have been awesome.
So yeah, that's the short of it is that's the catch. But the study was published in the study is called, I'm sorry, Psychology of Men and Masculinities, or maybe that's the journal that it came out in. But it suggests that traditional masculine characteristics like competitiveness and adventurousness were linked to fathers being better parents. And this particularly is focusing on infants. One thing they did was some kind of like almost like one of these toxic masculinity tests/quizzes. While their partner was pregnant and then 9 months after their baby was born. And the ones... part of what they were getting at too was having some flexibility. The ones that changed some of their attitudes once they had an infant that they had to take care of, they saw more positive parenting happening with them, which, yeah.
Sure.
If you just go, no, life's exactly the same after having a child,
you're living in denial. You're insane.
So, yeah. But I wasn't surprised at all. And the way they sum it up, I think, is perfect. These men are combining traditional aspects of masculinity with new nurturing ideals to create new fathering identities, at least compared to kind of like our parents. I think I don't see this as something that's terribly new.
No, but it's a way of studies to help define it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Realistically. So many jokes. I mean, you grew up in a two-parent home,
mm-hmm.
You know, and you're pretty maladjusted, so I don't feel so bad not having a dad.
everyone has their issues. And it's interesting. I grew up in a two-parent home, and I think, not to minimize how much a parent can fuck up a child, because you certainly can, but I think kids... are a lot more resilient than we give them credit for.
Sure.
one example that I see almost on a daily basis is my daughter, whose mother is trash. But she's turning out all right.
The views of Trevor are totally expressed by that of Man Tools and his partner. are absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like, she's a good kid, despite. Yeah. Now, I don't know, and I'm not trying to take any credit for undoing anything that her mom does. But I think the fact that she does have that environment and then the environment at my house, more or less split 50-50 yeah. as far as her time, I think goes a long way. And the whole co-parenting thing
sure.
helps.
There's a trash treasure dichotomy there that's, you know, she's looking at and going, well... She's kind of got a little salad bar thing going on. I'm going to take this. I'm going to take that. I'm going to leave that there. I don't want any of this.
Right. Yes. Yeah. I would agree. Sorry, I have to shuffle our scenes because from our pre-recorded interview last week, I shuffled them around to accommodate that. So.
Buttons aren't toys, Trevor.
That's right. They're not.
anyway. So let's see. Nothing new in the news. Masculine men are better dads. Okay. What's next?
Let's see.
Aw, snap.
This is something interesting. It's something that's been kind of being pushed for since women, especially since women were allowed to go into combat jobs, but even before that, there's been at least a slight push for this. But. It looks as though male-only selective service registration will probably be ending soon. I'm not sure what fight they're talking about there in the headline.
Yeah.
Fight to
not be registered?
make there be a draft to make sure it includes women. I don't know.
What's up, Steve? It's an update.
Yeah.
No shit, dude. I feel retarded for that one. Like, super dumb.
The U.S. has not actually executed a draft since 1973, but federal law requires men ages 18 to 25 to register with Selective Service. Women, too, could have to shoulder that responsibility. Earlier this year, the ACLU, on behalf of the National Coalition for Men, asked the Supreme Court to consider whether male-only registration violates equal protection principles, which it sounds like it does because it discriminates on the basis of sex. Just because it's in favor of women doesn't make it okay.
That's right.
And this is nothing new. It dates back to the reinstatement. I didn't know it went away, but the reinstatement of registration requirements in 1980. But this time it seems possible that either the court or Congress will finally strip away the vestige of gender inequality. So between the court and I guess some Congress critter has a bill that they're pushing forward. So if the court doesn't go, oh no, this applies to women as well, then that bill could codify that, you know, selective service is for all Americans 18 to 25. I have a feeling that if that happens, we will never actually see another draft used again.
No.
I think politicians can stomach sending men to die. I don't think that they'll ever be able to involuntarily sending
yes.
daughters to die.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Just listen to John Mayer. He'll be fine.
You have a song about the draft?
No, he's got a song about daughters.
Well. So, yeah. That's, you know, another welcome to actual equality, ladies.
Right.
Yes, the Israelis do that, Doug. From what I understand, every Israeli citizen serves some time in the IDF.
I don't know.
It's not even a selective service. It's just
this is what you're
going
do.
To be in the military
for a little while.
Yeah, whatever it is, 2 years or something.
Sure.
it's part of their obligation to live in, you know, what they consider the ancestral holy land. You know what I mean? For them, it's, I think it's more of a religious thing. Anyways, driving on to some other fun stuff here in the news. Oh, no. Sorry, that's our first cool stuff. Did I skip something?
Wonder Woman served. Okay.
I did skip something. So we're going to roll into some cool stuff.
All right.
Wonder Woman served, yeah.
Jesus Christ.
In the Amazonian army?
She was an army of one, bro.
Oh, the actress, yes. Gal Gadot. She was in the IDF. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she is Israeli. I thought he meant comic book character Wonder Woman, not
in World War II.
Not the real lady.
Yeah.
Yeah, but she is an actual badass.
It gets me all confused because I don't follow the comic book, so I was wondering where Red Skull was when Wonder Woman was out screwing around, and then
that was a news story that I should have picked up on, and I totally forgot. We'll just talk about it now just because you reminded me of it. Have you seen Marvel is now basically making Red Skull into Jordan Peterson?
Yes.
And quotes that are very much like his 12 rules for life, yep. Clean your room stuff.
Yeah, it's only 10 years.
And he's like, what the fuck? He's like, they're first they just kind of call him a Nazi, and he's like, now they've turned me in a comic book into a Nazi.
Yeah.
So he has I guess one of his rules has something to do with the lobster. I haven't read his book, so I don't know. He seems like how did Jack Donovan put it? He's kind of like a father figure, probably something that a lot of men do need. So there's no wonder he's getting so popular.
Sure.
Well,
that, and he's overly articulate and he's overly organized.
Yeah.
His logic is flawless.
It is. Yeah. I mean, it just the clean your room thing. If you clean up the space that you live in, the improvements in your well-being and how you handle everything else
makes you feel better.
It's just it just like sets off this chain reaction of being better at stuff.
Been out of shape today. Guess what happened?
You cleaned?
Cleaned my room. Awesome. Made my bed. Did the thing. Did all the laundry.
But anyways, I guess he somewhere in those rules, he says something about lobsters. I guess he's a big fan of lobsters. So he's putting out merch now where it's like the Hydra logo, but it's a lobster with like 10 claws.
I mean,
and it says like "Hail Lobster,"
right? Oh, jeez.
He's like, if you're gonna do that, and he's kind of like, and don't come back and try to get me with any fucking trademark infringements.
Yeah,
you know, two can play at that game.
You basically
lifted passages from my book for your Red Skull character.
Yeah. You changed it 10%. Well, so did I. That's funny. All right, on to some cool stuff. Cool stuff.
All right, so you're about to see a young man come out from that glass door there in the back, and he is my spirit animal.
Please don't knock those together.
Oh, holy God. Shit!
Jeez. Oh, Bobby, God. Stop! Bobby, stop!
What's wrong with you?
No, 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 move! What is wrong with you?
Laura, are you dumb? How are you laughing at this?
I'm blown away.
Woo!
Woo! He's your spirit animal.
He is a 40-year-old man with Down syndrome. Clearly a wrestling fan. I think he's seen his favorite wrestlers do that with cans and just didn't think there was really a difference between doing that with cans and bottles.
I don't give a shit. That was awesome. That was my guy right there.
I'm glad no one got hurt. I'm not sure what they're going to do about the glass in the pool now.
I mean, they got a guy for that.
Now, what I don't know Are they filming a porno here? Like, what that is going on with the guy in the towel and the knee pads?
That was
going
to be my question.
I don't know what that's about. Has he had a hard day at the blowjob factory?
You know, fluffers are us. I mean, he's wearing the socks, the knee pads, and the towel. I don't know.
It looks like he just finished being a catcher, no pun intended, at a softball game, and took everything off except the cleats and socks and knee sleeves.
I don't know what's happening here. I mean, because
he's ready to party.
Reason,
I don't know.
It would stand to reason they're shooting a porno.
I don't know.
Big pink thing on the ground. You did props.
I think that's a pool noodle, but you know.
Whatever.
Could be a giant dildo. I don't know. I can't tell from this angle.
Oh, I know. Is anybody stuck, and is there a mom in it? Because apparently that's all the porn is out there right now.
That's a big thing. Yeah.
Stupid shit.
Your stepsister or stepmom gets stuck in the dryer.
There it is.
You fuck her in the ass instead of pulling her out.
What the fuck is going on in this world? Man. What in the hell?
All
right.
Let's see. More cool stuff. Oh, yeah. Here's our other thing for cool stuff.
Let's see. We've got a... Hold on, ladies and gentlemen. We're getting a something in the earphones here. Yeah, we're going to have to break in and do a special report right now, ladies and gentlemen. Right here on Man Tools, you heard it here first. You need to watch this.
Yes. If you think coronavirus is something new, it's not. It's been around for a long time. The British government even felt the need to do a public service announcement about it in the 70s. So here we go.
Coronavirus is a deadly coughing disease that hangs about in the air. Person. You must always stay alert, and if you feel like you can sense coronavirus, get indoors, fast. If you're away from home, drop face first to the ground. In this position, the only cavity exposed is the anal duct, and that should not pose a problem so long as you're wearing trousers. When you're back inside, clean your hands with a strong disinfectant, and stockpile as many antibacterials and toilet rolls as you can. You'll be needing
these.
It's
humanly possible.
If you don't have an indoor toilet, cut a hole in your favorite chair and stick a bucket underneath. If you don't have chairs, dig a hole for yourself somewhere inside the house. During a coronavirus outbreak, anyone you see could be a carrier. This includes your teacher, your local policeman, even the nice couple you meet down the park. You'd think you'd always be safe with nice men like these who like to hang around children's playgrounds. This man looks nice.
I'll bet you can't catch me.
But look a bit closer. He's a carrier. You'd probably feel safe inside a car. But even a car can be a carrier. If you cough on a car, that car becomes a carrier, which is why scientists now sometimes refer to the coronavirus as the car owner virus.
Hello, young lady.
This girl doesn't know it, but if she gets into the car, she'll become a carrier.
No, thank you.
Janet, would you like to know why you shouldn't have gotten into that car? It could have put you in great danger.
You mean sort of like when Johnny hits me and pulls me, my hair, when we have a row?
No, it could have given you a deadly virus.
You mean do something rude to me?
No, not like that either. But you should go home now before you cause any more trouble. Carriers come in all shapes and sizes. So it's important when you're out and about to note down anyone you see coughing or wheezing.
Hey, what are you doing? Taking that man's number. Who do you think you are, the Sweeney or something? Sherlock, it might be serious.
When you return home, immediately call the police and notify them of any person you've seen who you think is or might be a carrier.
And, had brown eyes.
What sort of coat was he wearing?
I can't really remember because he was inside all the time.
I see.
It's actually unlikely that coronavirus will affect us for at least, I'd say, 50 years. And it's important to remember that the world will be very different in half a century's time. Nursing, for instance, will be almost unrecognizable. They certainly won't be muddling around with these old gadgets. We expect hospitals will look something like this. And our world leaders won't be human beings. They're more likely to look like this.
Nope.
Ultra-intelligent supercomputers, processing vast quantities of information faster than any human mind. So with these men in charge, coronavirus should be stopped in its tracks in no time.
32 megabytes.
Are you ready, Hugo?
You heard it here first.
That's awesome.
Coronavirus is dangerous. Don't get into cars. And make sure to lay down face first on your face.
Well, you know where you don't have to worry about any of that? over at EXO Auto Works. There we go. As always, Man Tools is brought to you by our friends at EXO Auto Works, Colorado Springs home of the $30 synthetic blend oil change. EXO knows that finding the problem is the first step to getting your car right, which is why EXO Auto Works provides diagnostic services at no charge in most cases. They also do fleet services, fluid services, repair services, and so much more. They work on all makes and models, including my high mileage piece of shit Honda. They offer a 24,000 mile, 2-year nationwide warranty. Actually, the reason my Honda isn't a piece of shit is because I take it there and get the maintenance done. 24,000 mile, 2-year nationwide warranty. So call EXO at 719-375-3232 or go online to exoautoworks.com to book your appointment right away.
If you feel like you have car owner virus.
Car owner virus,
take it to EXO. They'll cure you.
And we do have a tool of the week this week. An actual tool. I saw this and thought it was amazing. This neat little drill bit attachment lets you split wood like Captain America in that Avengers movie where they're suddenly on Hawkeye's farm.
Okay.
It split a mite bit more than the guy with the axe.
That's not too shabby. I dig it.
We also, because it's not sponsored by EXO, we do have some memes of the week.
Oh, God.
Which, you know, every once in a while these are fun. Maybe I'll come up with a stinger for these at some point. First, we're going to start with, I guess, a rising fear.
Yes. This should have been news. Oh,
this comes from 2018, but I'm sure it's still true. The headline of the article is that men are now afraid to give women CPR. In case they might be accused of some kind of sexual assault. And as I love Titania McGrath, which is a satire Twitter account. The guy behind it is amazing. As they point out, it's never okay for men to give CPR to an unconscious woman.
Resuscitation is just a fancy word for rape.
That's right.
Ooh.
And then some I thought this was awesome because it's so like we'll just let it speak for itself. Same publication, same author. On the left side is one headline from apparently they have a column called The Week in Patriarchy at The Guardian, where it's talking about how men are less likely to wear masks. It's another sign that toxic masculinity kills. And then on the right, well, if women are hesitant about the vaccine, it's because the health industry hasn't earned their trust. So when men are hesitant about these health measures, it's because we're
toxic
dicks. when women are hesitant about it, it's because the industry needs to earn their trust. Yeah. Okay. Okay, Arwa Mav, I don't know.
Mawahadi? Mawahadawai? Mogwai?
Just. Ma. Really?
God damn it. I bet it's Jill Smith.
Probably. Kind of like Barry Obama.
There you go. Good old Barry.
Let's see. Oh.
I think she needs a pool noodle.
So that we're going to move into what's probably going to take up the bulk of our time this evening.
Oh, we have bulk pool noodles coming at you.
We're going to get into what's pissing us off.
Oh, boy.
This is going to be fun.
You guys are going to need a cigarette after that.
So what's pissing me off today, anyways, and I'm hoping it will start pissing you off. By now, I'm sure everyone is familiar with the Dante Wright shooting and has their own opinions on what went wrong and what could have changed the situation. But I think I have a little bit of a different take than what most people go after when it comes to this very tragic event. We're going to watch the body cam video, which I assume most people have seen by now, but we're going to kind of stop it at a point where...
I haven't seen it.
Okay, well,
let's roll.
Let's check this out.
Before they watch, this video is disturbing. Here it is.
Those hands are a female officer's hand. Now she's saying, I'll tase you. All right, let me back that up again. Because that's not... So her defense already, and that the department is saying she confused her pistol with her taser, thought she was going to tase him, drew the wrong implement, and fired a shot into him instead of drawing the taser and tasing it. And I'm not going to get into, like, whether or not they should have been messing with him in the first place or any of that stuff. Here's the part that's pissing me off. None of that would have happened if someone who was strong enough to control that arm went in and grabbed that arm. That's where he gets loose.
Mm-hmm.
This guy seemed to basically be getting it under control, and then she decided she needed to help. So my problem is, and I'm not going to go as far as to say she's a diversity hire or anything like that. She was on the force for like 26 years, so I doubt that that's quite the situation. But it's yet another instance where we see that just the pure physical capabilities of men and women
are different.
And if a man, and I'm not saying a man could have reached in there and tried to help and caused the same problem, but I think the chances of that would be greatly reduced because he would have the strength to actually just latch onto that arm and control it, which was what she was trying to do, but couldn't. She just physically couldn't. I do want to point out, there is something I wanted to point out. I've made a point to look this up. That police department, the Brooklyn Park, Minnesota Police Department, at least for hiring,
has
a fitness test, and they do not appear to have different standards between men and women. There is nothing in here that says here's the standards for males, here's the standards for females. So good on them. It appears that no matter who you are, if you're going to try to be in the police department, you have to do a 1.5 mile run in 15 minutes and 30 seconds, followed by a 300 meter. They call it a run, but I'm guessing they really mean like a sprint.
Yeah.
67 seconds. Then a 1 minute sit-up test where you have to do at least 30, a vertical jump where you have to get at least 16 inches off the ground, and then a 1 minute push-up test where you have to do at least 15. So, okay, good on them for not having something separate. But there are departments where there is something separate, including here in Colorado Springs.
Very separate.
There was recently... Oh, sure.
Yeah, because they don't want us to show it.
So there was recently a court case. Well, not that recently. 2017. A federal judge ruled in favor of 12 female police officers in the Colorado Springs Police Department, finding that the department's new physical fitness tests have a disparate impact on women. Basically, the Colorado Springs Police Department, if I'm not mistaken, went to a single standard.
Yep.
Or at least a group of the women who couldn't pass that new standard filed a lawsuit, and the court ruled, oh no, you can't. This will discriminate against them.
Over half of the female officers failed the test, whereas only like less than
4% or something. Yeah, it's in the article.
Is it?
Let's see. Yeah. So the changes, the new physical fitness test resulted in a 50% failure rate for female officers, while only 6% of the male officers failed. Which in the judge's opinion violated Title IX of the Civil Rights Act, which prohibits sexual discrimination by employers.
That doesn't argue.
Well, and even if it does, I think there are jobs where there need to be exceptions. It can't be in a job where lives are at stake. You can't be going, well, we got to make sure that every segment of the population is represented. That's fine if it is.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't just be you're a woman, so we're throwing you out. But qualification should be king. If you're qualified, you're in. Whether you got a dick, whether you're a purple person or a green person or a black person or a yellow person or whatever shade, whether you're, you know, trans, I don't care.
Doesn't matter.
But the qualification should come first before any other consideration for getting that job.
if you can do it, you can do it.
Yeah.
I would not want a 4'9", 120-pound, you know, sawed-off little fiery chick being a firefighter and carrying my ass.
Well, we've got one of those coming up.
Oh, shit.
Hang on. We'll get to her. First, though, I wanted to talk about this new thing. United Airlines just announced a new diversity goal where they want 50% of students in their new pilot training academy to be women and people of color. Now, what really boggled my mind is, so they're saying women or people of color. Okay. And they don't necessarily set like quotas for each.
No.
Segment that applies to. But what I found very interesting is one of the reasons that they were doing this is they said that they only had 13% of their applicants, or 13% of the people that were accepted were people of color. People of color in the United States represent about 13% of the population. So they're already exactly represented.
I'm worried. Here's what I'm worried about. This is why I'm like, ugh, because United is notorious for fucking you on fees. This is why I'm like, ugh. So here's what they're going to do. They're not saying pilots.
Right. Not yet.
No.
Right now they're saying the training program.
Students who need to pay a shit ton of money even after the loans and grants and things that go into it. Right. Well, we'll help you get in. Just like, you know, this is a publicity stunt.
Sure.
And a push for some sort of goodwill. But at the end of the day...
Well, and I look to the worst case scenario, which is if
equality of outcome.
If that plays out, what they want is half of the pilots in the cockpit. I think that's what they're trying to say, even though it starts with the training program. I would rather see qualified pilots, whether they're women, black, white, purple, whatever.
Don't matter.
Robots. Fuck, if they can auto drive cars and be safe.
Yep.
You know, maybe that's an even safer option for airlines. I don't know. What I don't want is for them to go, well, we got this dude who's way better at flying a fucking plane and is increasing the chances of us getting our passengers from point A to point B safely, but we're not going to take him as a pilot because we've got a lady or a black guy or a black lady who fills this diversity quota. They won't ever say quota, but diversity.
But that, let's just be real. Thing. That's what they're pulling. It's garbage.
Yes.
Merit is merit. And that's it.
Be a good pilot.
Be a good pilot. Don't care. Don't care. You know, before the Rona, pilot, you know, I don't care who it was. You know, they always stand there and greet you as you leave.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always like, good game. I do. I don't care who it is. You know, chick, dude, whatever. I'm like, good game. Thank you.
Now, on to your firefighter.
Because I'm usually drunk. Good game, buddy. Good game.
There we go.
That's funny. I didn't even... That's funny.
Now, this is a number of years old, so I'm not sure what has changed with the New York Fire Department, if anything, but... and I want to point out, this is written by a woman, Betsy McCahey. McCahey, right?
McCahey.
It's like McConaughey without the Anna.
Yeah. Wait.
Yeah. So this is from 2015. I'm going to zoom it in so we can all
read
this.
McCahey. McCahey. McCahey.
She starts out with a bang. If you're ever trapped in a burning building, just pray the firefighter climbing up to rescue you isn't Rebecca Wax.
Damn.
And calls her by name.
Fucking threw her under the bus.
Or someone like her who's been given the easy path through firefighting training for the sake of equality. This week, again, this is back in 2015, Wax, who reportedly flunked the rigorous physical test required by the New York City Fire Department, will graduate from training anyways.
This is horseshit.
All over the nation, fire departments, are easing physical standards in response to litigation to increase the number of women firefighters.
No.
I want someone that can grab my fat ass and drag me out a window and down.
You and I would both fail.
You
horribly,
know what I mean?
Horribly fail that physical fitness test. I don't want me being a firefighter saving lives. I would lose. I'll be going down the building with them. That's two down instead of just the one.
Yeah.
Jesus. Again, that's not about the fact that she's a woman. Trevor and I both probably fail that test.
I have no doubt that
I'd horribly. I'd pass the smoke test. I can inhale it, just walk in like a superhero.
But Wax tried six times to pass the functional skills test within the 7-minute, 50-second deadline. Five times she couldn't finish at all. On the sixth try, she did it, but took 22 minutes, which means someone's dead.
Which means the house is burned down. They're not containing it in the structure anymore. They're containing it at the block.
Yeah. And if part of it is get someone out, that person's dead.
You're both dead.
You took too long. Plus, not even to mention the guys that are going to go in after you because you're one of theirs. Mm-hmm. Yep. So we're up to, what, at least three, maybe four people passing away for the sake of diversity.
No. Nope. And standards are standards. They're blind. It's like it's supposed to be like justice, right?
Yeah.
Justice is blind.
One of these, I wish I found the story because I had read about it a while back. They were getting in trouble, even though the board that was like deciding who got in and got discarded only had numbers and then stats.
Yeah.
And that was still like, no, it discriminates on the basis of sex. It's like, no, it discriminates on the basis of failing the fucking test.
Yeah, on performance. If you don't know,
they don't know their color. They don't know their sex. That might have been it. It might have been a racial thing. All the black guys got kicked out or whatever. And it's like the board that was deciding this had an applicant, you know, something like that.
Sure.
And then how did they do on all of the things?
Right.
And unbeknownst to them, A was, you know, Rick Johnson. B was, you know, Terry, I don't know,
whatever,
a lady's name. C was, you know, I don't know, Tyrone something. And it was just because of failing the qualifications that they discarded the lady and the black guy.
Because if you go the other direction, you put men into a situation where it's a predominantly female orientated profession. Guess what's going to happen? Even on the little SWOT litmus test you got going on, they're going to fail. You must be this big and be able to do this. You know what I mean? It just is what it is.
Finally, I know a little bit about this. I was never an Army Ranger, but I was in the Army and have worked with female soldiers who were both amazing and horrifyingly bad. Again, this is from a number of years ago, and I'm not sure what has changed, but this irritated me when it first started going on. This is from 2015. And they've now admitted that this is what happened. This is back when the first two women were put into Army Ranger School. And the report was that an Army general came to the school, someone up very high in the chain of command, and said, at least one of these women will graduate this class. And that's an order. They both ended up graduating. Another thing that was odd was President Obama himself came to the graduation, which is not typical. It was very much he knew that these ladies were going to be passing and being put through. Some of the stuff, it's not covered in this article, but I've heard about it from people that are like Army Ranger adjacent, at least. Let's see. Some of the accommodations that they're saying. This was the quote from the general, not to the press. This is a whistleblower or whatever. A woman will graduate Ranger School, the general told shock subordinates. While preparing for the first females to attend the gender integrated assessment, that directive set the tone for what was to follow. And they go on and had a ripple effect. Ranger School has three phases. The beginning, which lasts 21 days and includes water survival, land navigation, 12-mile march, some patrols, and an obstacle course, mountain phase, blah, blah, blah. Anyways, a bunch of hard stuff that I would never pass. Multiple sources said that the women were first sent to a special two-week training to get ready, which other applicants don't get. Once they were there, they were allowed to repeat that 2 weeks until they passed. afterward, they spent months in a special platoon at Fort Benning, getting, among other things, nutritional counseling and full-time training with an actual ranger, which other applicants don't get. While in the special platoon, I don't want your ad, they were taken out to the land nav course, which is a very tough part of the course, and it's timed on a regular basis. It does not say that they got to do the course, but they got to see it. The men who were in Ranger School saw it for the first time when they showed up and took the land nav course. Once they were actually in the school, so this is all before they've started the school, they've been getting extra an edge. They were allowed to repeat key parts like patrols, while special consideration like that was not given to men. A two-star general made some kind of personal appearance to cheer them on. Okay, I'm not sure how much that might have.
That's not a.
But the big thing that I heard about that just ground my gears when I heard about it. A big part of Ranger School is teamwork. You're all in it together, right? It's kind of the attitude. Even though everyone passes and fails on their own, it's a very cooperative thing. The reports I heard were part of what happens like when you're on your marches and patrols is you have to carry so much weight. Well, their weight was cut in, I don't know, I'm just going to randomly say half, let's say.
Okay.
Well, they still have to have that stuff. So the dudes that were with them had to distribute the weight that was taken from them, the women. And then because of that, those men were told, you're going to go ahead and pass this part because you're doing extra. Which then in the eyes of, if they make it to the Ranger Battalion, those Rangers are like, you're not a real Ranger because you had 20 extra minutes to do this thing. Even though they were carrying, say, even if it's only 10 pounds, 10 pounds is 10 fucking pounds that you weren't carrying before.
Yeah. You still didn't do it. Doesn't matter if you're carrying 10 pounds more or 10 pounds less.
They're like, you still didn't pass the course.
You didn't pass the course. Thin end of the wedge. So well, Operation Pack Mule. Damn, I was going to say Operation Sherpa. Nice. Oh, the one-day recycle. That was, I guess she screwed up.
I thought we were going to be dropped after they failed Darby, part of the beginning, the second time.
Yeah.
So, now, the claim, there were some other articles that claim, well, they did it to get, like, the first couple in, but they haven't done it. They've been held to the same standard as all the men since then. I'm like,
shuffling over here. The 5 mile run is still 5 miles. The 12 mile march is still 12 miles.
True, but if you have 10 more minutes to complete either one,
yep.
And the, I guess the guy in charge of the school said there was no pressure from anyone above for him to change the standards. I'm not buying that at all. In fact, he was probably ordered not to say that there was pressure. Was really what happened.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Instructors say otherwise. We were under huge pressure to comply. It was very politicized.
Could you imagine going to work that for that 2 months?
Well,
you're just like, fuck this.
Well, the upside is, to their credit, it says that the two women never asked for any of this.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure they didn't. They were just given it, whether they wanted it or not.
Yep.
And part of it was just like the general said at the beginning of their article, at least one of them is going to pass this fucking course. The end. So, hopefully that has not continued, but it is a tarnishing, you know, again, this is a job where if you can't meet the standard, the risk is that your fellow soldiers are going to fucking die. So that's the end of what's pissing me off. Diversity hires that get people killed.
There it is. That is the title. Diversity hires that get people killed.
That pisses me off.
Pisses me off. There's no way I'd make it through Ranger school.
Nor would I. I wouldn't even want to try.
Not a chance in hell.
When I was like 20 and in the best shape of my life, I didn't want to try.
Yeah. Screw that. I was running 6 miles a day. Now I just drink 16 ounces a day.
All right.
What do we got left in this horrible shit wagon we call a podcast?
We got some sports.
Did you see the thing I sent you today?
Which one? Which thing?
The hockey thing?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
I don't have that queued up.
Okay, we're going to watch it next week because it's amazeballs.
Yes, that will be in next week's sports.
So excited for next week's hockey highlights. Oh.
Get to the top.
Get to the top. That was April 9th.
What is this doing?
I don't know.
Come on.
Where are you going?
I'll try refreshing the page.
Refresh.
That's what I wanted. Just... We'll do what I do to get there in the first place.
It's like a real podcast.
We'll play the stinger. Chuck says, fuck them all. I assume he's talking about the diversity hires that cost lives.
Or the cops from earlier. Who knows? The Sabres. Let's see. In NHL hockey, what is this? Today? Today's finals. The Sabres slash the Capitals. Let's see. The Rangers did not diversify over the Devils. They actually did it in the required time. Damn, that was a good one. The Hurricanes blew away the Predators. Jets soared over the Maple Leafs, and the Blackhawks took one from the Red Wings. Usually that's the other way around.
That's what I thought.
Because, man, I'll tell you what, Blackhawks and Red Wings, that is a dirty, dirty hockey
match.
That's
a nasty sight. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Blue Jackets outshined by the Stars. And that's your hockey.
There's still some time left in that game, it looks like. 12 minutes.
They ain't going to do nothing.
Okay, well.
That's my prediction. Go bet on it. And if you lose your house, it's your own fault. You should never listen to Man Tools.
Let's check out the plays of the week.
McDavid to the net. Wrist shot, score! Upstairs for Connor McDavid.
And what a move inside. Just a highlight reel goal. Goes underneath the stick, inside the body, and upstairs short side.
Up ice. Smith out of the box with Kolesar. Yep. Trying to fit it to Kolesar. Oh, what a save by Talbot. With the glove to Rob King and Kolesar, who can't believe it.
What a save by Talbot. The glove as he moves right to left. Absolutely robs like, Kolesar.
It's Barzal to pick it up from deep in his own end. Blows past Tom Wilson, now hockey. Working on Chara. Yeah, Barzal cuts
he's
in.
The, he's the one.
First off, he's going to upskate Wilson, who stays right with him. Now he's got Chara there to the middle and then past Chara. That's just an unbelievable goal.
Only Stetcher is back. 3-on-1. Stamkos for Hedman. Oh, what a stop.
Wow.
I mean, there's not much equipment there to stop the puck, but Grace is able to get a piece of it.
Here is Edwin into the corner, throws it back across the grain. Here's Lenny with a drive, save, rebound. Oh, what a stop by Vasilevsky.
Victor Hedman, I believe, gets a stick in behind here, too. Yeah, Victor Hedman's stick. Boone Jenner will be kicking himself for that one. He thought he had a slam dunk.
Jack Hughes turns inside, backdoor, great stop there! Samsonov magnificent on Severson.
They're going to be shaking their head, I'll tell you what, because Sammy bails out his hockey tip.
As we watch Wood do a great job, Brad.
Now look, you're going to want that.
What a play, Pavel Zacha with the finish.
Miles Wood turns up, gets it back to Brad, who made the initial pass out of his zone. And watch this save by Allmark. Left toe save. And look at the effort.
Fox working on the long reach of Thompson. There's a shot stop by Allmark. Rebound! Oh, and Allmark gets over. Kravtsov took a stab at it, and Allmark kept it out.
Allmark dove and blocked the shot from going into the net.
Mayfield angles it, trying to get it to the front. It popped out there. He scores! Matt Barzal with a hat trick.
Going
out of midair.
Wizardry, Brendan. Wizardry.
Talbot didn't quit on it. Now Kolesar, another backhander, and a save made by Talbot. He robbed him twice in a matter of seconds. That one on a backhand in tight.
Now you've got McDavid and Draisaitl back together. Over the line, 5-on-5. Draisaitl, a one-timer score from an impossible angle.
He is below the goal line when he rips this puck on net for McDavid. No look, bang, it's down to him. Look where he is standing. He is literally in the corner when he lets that go.
Hey, whoa, whoa, whoa. Brant didn't pay us for that.
We'll send you a bill, buddy. Send you a bill, Brant.
Let's see. That brings us to the week in history.
Oh, we got some history. Let's do this. Ready?
All right, this week in his story, April 15th, 1865,
the vampire hunter,
died from John Wilkes Booth's assassination bullet. I forget what it's called, but there's an interesting documentary I watched a number of years ago that included a lot of medical people talking about how... If he wasn't treated by the people that he was treated by, he might have lived. He wouldn't have been in good shape, but he may have lived because, well, the Surgeon General hadn't practiced medicine in a number of years, which isn't uncommon. They really don't once they're at that level.
Yeah.
But that's who, especially back then, treats the president.
Right.
So they were doing stuff like probing for the bullet, which probably shoved it further into his brain. Yeah. That even at the time, I guess a doctor that was actually practicing medicine, like one of these Civil War doctors, would have been like, no, please don't do that.
Hold on.
So, yeah.
A lot of interest.
Yes, Dr. Mudd. No, Dr. Mudd was one of the assassins, wasn't he? I thought he treated Booth. Anyways, Steve. Someone in the chat chatted Dr. Mudd. I remember that name, but I thought it was I thought he was one of the conspirators because he fixed he set and splinted Booth's leg, broken leg, when he jumped, if I'm not mistaken. And if I had my facts straight, I think he was hung as a conspirator, even though there really wasn't a lot of evidence that he was part of the conspiracy. He just happened to be the doctor that they took Booth to. So, anyways, let's see, April 6th, 1867, only 2 years after this, marks the birth of Wilbur Wright, designer, builder, and pilot of the first powered aircraft. Let's see, April 17th.
No safety vest. No helmet. Men were men back then, dude.
Nope. That doesn't even have a cockpit. Just climb on there and fly.
We'll just get this done.
I don't even know how this thing is going to work. I'll probably die. Fire up the engines.
If I break my leg, is that mud guy around?
Let's see. April 17th. Nope. Yes, I'm sorry. April 17th. I dyslexia the numbers. I thought it was 1790. 1970, Apollo 13, originally scheduled to land on the moon, lands back safely on Earth after harrowing time and space.
Tour around the dark side of the moon.
Yeah.
Little Pink Floyd action. That's what I was looking for. Do you know how bizarre it was? Do you know, like, people, I remember my grandma talking about this shit when I was a kid about, she's like, we didn't know if they were going to come around the other side and we're just going to be skeletons in there or what. Like, people were freaking out.
Yeah, they had no idea.
Didn't know what was going to happen up in, up in the space.
Let's see. April 18th, 1949. I'm surprised it was that late. I thought it happened in World War One, but the Republic of Ireland withdrew from the British Commonwealth. I think they had a fair level of independence before that, though, because my understanding was that in World War One, while all the British troops were away fighting in like France, they went, "We're our own country." I was like, "What are you going to do about it?" Nothing, because all the troops are fighting in France.
Yeah.
And then I know in World War Two they were actually neutral. Little known fact: there's a good movie with that dude from the Rockford Files. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
James Garner.
Garner.
Where he plays a very similar role to what he played in The Great Escape, except he's a prisoner of war in Ireland, and they were taking prisoners from both sides. Anyone that got shot down over Ireland, they took them prisoner until the end of the war.
Yeah.
So he was in there with both German, their allies, I guess maybe some Italians, I don't know, and Yanks and Brits. Anyone that was shot down over Ireland, they...
Y'all get to sit here and shut up.
Yep. Let's see. April 19th, 1775. The American Revolution begins as fighting breaks out in Lexington, Massachusetts.
It's quiet here.
Yeah. April. This one's fucked up. April 20th, 1999.
Okay,
there
reached.
We go. Two students entered Columbine High School in Littleton, Colorado, and opened fire with multiple firearms, killing 13 students and teachers, wounding 25, and eventually shooting themselves. And as I always point out, schools are gun-free zones. I got into an argument with somebody because I said, if guns were the problem, shooting ranges would be a massacre, and there hasn't been a mass shooting at a shooting range. And dude goes, "Oh, Google that. You'll find it's wrong." I Google it. Okay. There have been a couple. Generally, they get up to 2, maybe 3 people shot, and then the shooter gets put down.
Mass shooting is not 2 people.
I wouldn't call that a mass shooting. I think the legal definition is more than one, which I'm like, okay, fine. It's that, sure.
One is too many, but mass is more than 5.
Yeah, I would say so, yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm not not you're not really proving your point with that. Anyways. April 21st, 1918, the German fighter ace Baron von Richthofen, known as the Red Baron, was finally shot down and killed. One of the most deadly guys in the air during World War One. And that brings us to the end of this week in his story, and therefore the end of our show.
Yeah, no, that guy was a badass.
Yeah, he was. Jeez. And not that far after Wilbur Wright.
Yeah. It's like they figured it out pretty quick. Well, that's pretty much the show. We're really sorry.
Once again.
But we'd like to thank our sponsors, EXO Autoworks, Enharmonic Studios, Twisted Apes Bar and Grill, Madrid Maintenance, and all off-site video production done by Lone Wolf Productions. Thank you for watching and or listening. Check us out on the web at mantoolsmedia.com. All of the social media at mantoolsmedia. mantoolsmedia.redbubble.com is the place for all of Mantools merch. Our Patreon page is patreon.com/mantoolsmedia. Patronages start at just $5 a month. Thank you, Rebecca, for becoming a patron last week. Let's see, mantoolsminions.locals.com. If you'd like to become a minion, that's also $5 a month. We also, if you're on the YouTubes, click the like and subscribe and ring the little bell so you know when we go live.
That's right.
That'd be super awesome. We've got a few cool things happening at the Twisted Apes Bar and Grill here in the next couple weeks. Copacetic is this Friday night. That's tomorrow night. It's $5. Copacetic is a local Carl Springs kind of classic rock, kind of chill band. BACA, Bikers Against Child Abuse, Pikes Peak Chapter's 11th anniversary and live music with Facing Forward. In other words, the BACA chapter here in town has been here for 11, 12 years, and they're having an anniversary party. All are welcome. Coming up next after that is going to be, looks like Mystic 7. That's next week. We'll get into them. We'll tell you all about Mystic 7. I have a hilarious story about a tramp stamp in Mystic 7. Don't get the name of the band tattooed on your ass. Don't do it.
Oh, be sure to check out the second part of the interview that I did with Anthony Zenhauser is up on Patreon and Locals. Again, that's $5 a month. Yep. Very funny dude. And believe me, it got a lot raunchier than what we showed on the regular free episode. So the last part was definitely worth putting behind the paywall.
Yeah.
If for no other reason than it would have been taken down from YouTube.
Highly likely. Well, and hopefully he gets back to me about being on the Red Dwarf show. That would be fucking awesome. That would be awesome.
Oh, speaking of crazy British comedies, have you seen a show called Hyperdrive?
Yep. Black Books. It's
fun.
Coupling. I love all that stupid shit.
I figured you have.
Yeah. Hyperdrive's great. That guy's just funny. That guy's just funny. Simon Pegg is, he's hands down hilarious.
Yeah, I don't think he plays anybody in it, but he's like a producer or something.
Producer, writer, you know? Yep.
Yeah. And of course, Nick Frost, his partner, is... I looked at it, I started watching, I'm like, oh, so it's like a British The Orville? Awesome. But done kind of better in some ways than The Orville was? I can get behind that.
I can get behind that. All right, well, that's it for us. We're going to try to get the Huskies out and mush home. I'm looking out the window, and it's...
It's nice and snowy.
Oh, yeah. It's awesome. Going to be suck getting home.
Well, good night, everybody.